Hi, and welcome back into the Grow Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bupker. My partner is Jay STL Golf Geek Randolph Jr., who, by the way, is a golf ambassador at the famed Gateway National Golf Club just outside St. Louis. If you show up a little early and you got a little problem maybe with your swing, Jay was quite a stick in his day. Don't be afraid to ask him for a little tip. Well, Jay, what do you make of the Zozo Championship? It was a limited field, but it was a quality field and certainly a good, solid winner in Patrick Cantlay.
I think this is a very significant win for Cantlay, and here's why. And the reason I remember this is because he was on my DraftKings team. He made a big move on Saturday at the Shriners in Vegas and got himself into a five-way tie for the lead. And, you know, young kid, couple of W's already, a lot of promise, you know, going up against Martin Laird, who hadn't done much, Peter Malinati, I mean, Brian Harman, who's a stick, and, you know, Austin Cook. I mean, he kind of thought, all right, this is the perfect setting for him. Instead, he bombs. He shoots 73, about the only guy in the whole tournament that went over par, and he did it in the final round. So I was really impressed, Bob, with the way he was able to take this golf tournament from Rahm and JT. I mean, you're talking about two of the best five in the world, and they falter a little bit. They don't do what they need to do. And you have the ability to go out and just get it done. That was a big win for Patrick Cantlay. It may have not have been the excitement that we wanted golf tournament-wise. And obviously we're going to talk about the two guys that have carried our game for so long that didn't have anything. But I think a big win for Patrick.
You know, just to refresh our listeners' memory banks, it wasn't too long ago, Patrick Cantlay was being touted as a surefire, a bona fide star. I mean, he was number one amateur. Then he had a back problem. And then he's crossing that street with his caddy, who happened to be one of his best friends. The caddy gets hit by a car. He dies in Patrick's arms. I mean, you know, that stuff is tough to come back from, especially when your best friend is your caddy, because every time you go to play golf, when you're playing golf, what are you going to think about? You're going to think about your caddy that you lost at a very young age. So I think that Patrick Cantlay deserves a lot of credit for the mental toughness that he's demonstrated just to get back into the winner's circle. And I couldn't agree with you more, Jay. A very impressive win.
Well, no question. And now you throw that in with his victory at Jack's Place in 2019. And now he's starting to get on that track that everybody thought he was destined for, Bob. You're exactly right. I mean, people that don't know, I mean, he had one of those gigantic, huge amateur careers and got off to a really good start in his first year as a professional on the Korn Ferry Tour. So, like I said, very impressed, a little confused to a certain extent about the fact that, you know, JT and Rahm are there and neither one of them really fired.
Well, I'll tell you what we do right now. For our listeners, let's listen into what Cantlay had to say about his victory.
I played really well. I feel like I have been playing well for a while, and this week it just kind of all came together every day. You know, obviously I started to stay a few back, but I knew I had to go out and make a bunch of birdies, and today was actually the only day I made a bogey, but offsetted it with enough birdies. I think it's just validation of all the hard work. I put in a lot of work and try to do the right things all the time. And so when it all does come together, it's really rewarding because it's all that hard work paying off.
You know, it's amazing, Jay. the way they talk about their performance now. Cantley makes one bogey over 72 holes. To me, that's more impressive than making a ton of birdies. I mean, for Tiger, and I used it many times in the interviews that I had with Tiger, one of Tiger's secrets, and I'm surprised other players don't try and capitalize on it as much as Tiger did. Tiger absolutely hated, I mean, detested making a bogey. I mean, he would do anything not to make a bogey. A birdie is fine, but he's one of the few players that I can honestly say certainly hated making a bogey a lot more than they enjoyed making a birdie, and I think that's a pretty good formula.
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, you know, when you have the ability to make par and to save par, it changes your whole mindset. It gives you a whole different view of things. And I think, you know, while we're talking about a 23 under tournament, you know, it may not be quite as important. You know, I mentioned that Rahm and Thomas didn't fire. I mean, granted, they both shot, you know, Rahm shoots 4 under and JT shoots 3 under. I mean, but again, 7 under 65 for Cantlay. However, for Thomas and Rahm, the ironic thing is it was their high round of the week. Came on Sunday. Rahm shot 68 in the opening round. He shot 68 in the final round. JT was 65, 65, 67, 69. But a good tournament, a good prelude to give us some action before, and not to take anything away from Bermuda, which is an extremely weak field, and Houston, which is going to be a good field because of international guys and guys playing the week before, and Houston has done a good job trying whatever they can to be similar, as close as you can to Augusta. But, you know, guys like Bubba Watson and Ryan Palmer, Daniel Berger's starting to move in the right direction. But, you know, I think the thing that a lot of people are left with, Bob, and we're going to discuss it, is, you know, Tiger tied for 72nd. Phil tied for 76. Where does that leave us with the two of them?
Well, it's something that we're certainly going to talk about. But let's quickly run down some of the other performances. You touched briefly about John Rahm. He missed by one shot. And Justin Thomas, Thomas was really annoyed with himself after walking down that 18th hole. I mean, it was
hot.
Yeah, he was as hot as could be. But let's listen to what JT had to say in his own words.
I got to find a way to kind of just stay a little bit more focused out there. It's crazy, but it's sometimes it's hard to just kind of keep the killer instinct and the you know, stay in the zone when it's as quiet as it is out there. It is tough, but we're all dealing with it, and I just have to find a little bit better way of how to cope with that here in the next couple of weeks, because I got a huge event that, and a course that I love, that I feel like I'm playing well and I should have a great chance to win. So a lot of positives this week. You know, I can't look at it as a bad week, but it is upsetting not getting it done.
Well, he's really upset. And of course, the veiled comment that he made, let's not leave any doubt in any listener's mind. Certainly talking about the Masters, a tournament that he truly loves. And when you look at the play of JT and you look at the heritage of his father being a club pro, his grandfather being a club pro, almost fits the mode of what it takes to win at Augusta. I think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I don't know how you feel.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if the two guys that were paired together in the final round at the Zozo are paired together in the final round on Sunday at Augusta, and that's Justin Thomas and John Rahm. I mean, you know, like I said, they are clearly two of the top five best players in the world. at this juncture. And both love the Masters. JT with a little bit more experience than John, but you know, they got to be right up there with any favorite that there is. Let me ask you, if I said to you, I'll give you Bryce and I'll take JT and Rahm, because Bryson hits it so far, what would you say?
Joe Keefe, a club professional friend of mine who I've always said had the softest hands in the business, he'd be upset if I didn't pick Bryson DeChambeau. I don't know. There's more intrigue leading up to this Masters because there's so many unknown factors. I think you would agree with me, Jay, on an annual basis, when we start to prepare to go to the Masters, there's nothing really new. No, we know about the par three contest. We know almost the whole locations on the entire back nine on Sunday. It's a golf course that, you know, golf lovers can see in their sleep.
Yep.
So I don't know, you know, is Bryson DeChambeau going to overpower it? If he does, what do the Masters people do? That's probably a pretty good bet. So, in other words, you'd take Thomas and Rahm. Give me,
and I'll give you the greatest thing since sliced bread. Yeah, I'll let you have Bryce.
Well, I got to get a report on that 48-inch driver. Then I'll tell you. Let's get back to
he's the guy in a sense, Bob. He's the guy in a sense that moves the needle. Clearly this guy still moves the needle. Tiger Woods, I mentioned the tie for 72nd, not what he wanted. He was proud of his putting, but he couldn't take advantage of the par fives. You know, he can tear up those par fives at Augusta. Here he is discussing, the upcoming event.
Well, one, I know the golf course, so it's not a new golf course, and maybe a little bit longer than, and a little bit more soft than what we've probably experienced. But you just never know. You know, this time of year, it could be in the 70s, could be in the 30s. You know, who knows there? But, you know, I know the layout. The one component that is going to be just, I think, so odd for all of us who have played there and who have been there is have no spectators. Some of the shots, like on 7, you aim at one spectator and you're going to cut it to another, and which will leave you, you know, this, you know, either, you know, left of this flag or right of that flag. And, you know, that's what I've done in the past, but there's going to be no background and no roars. You know, sometimes, you know, we've been on the putting green there before we tee off, and when you hear roars down there, 12 and 13, they reverberate up all the way up to the clubhouse, and there's going to be nothing. So that's one of the things that I've been, you know, thinking about, you know, for the last few weeks is what is that going to be like? I've played practice rounds before there, and, you know, before tournament week, and it's odd because, you know, in tournament week, there's, especially the practice rounds, there's more people in practice rounds there than in tournament play. So, and it's going to be odd in that sense, but it's still the Masters, you know, that's still, the best players in the world, and you still have the traditions, and it's just that we're not going to have the roars.
Tiger playing without a roar is, you know, certainly strange. I'm quite taken aback by the fact that he's devoting any thoughts whatsoever on how strange it's going to be standing on the putting green and somebody doing well on 12 and 13, and he hears a roar. I mean, I'm lost in the translation of that.
Well, I think that you would admit that it is part of the event, those roars. I doubt Tiger maybe is in depth, as he described it, when he's there worrying about them. But it is something that does reverberate around the golf course. And it's more unique in Augusta than any other place. So I do think it'll be a little different there. I mean, when a guy makes a huge putt or hits an unbelievable shot, and you're so used to that, it is going to be different. But as Tiger said, it's still the Masters. Well, our man Phil Mickelson, he continues to make too many mistakes. Well, maybe the mistake is playing the PGA Tour and not sticking with the Champions. Let's hear from Phil on his play at the Zozo and then what's on tap at Augusta.
I'm enjoying playing both tours. They're so different as far as the course setups and how style of play. I need to be much more disciplined out here. Obviously, I'm making way too many mistakes and big numbers and penalty strokes and so forth. And the Champions Tour is much more forgiving. You can recover a little bit easier. Pins aren't as penalizing. And so I certainly enjoy that style of play because I can play aggressive. And it's more comparable to the way Augusta is, I think, because Augusta allows you to recover a number of times if you hit less than perfect shots. Certainly it's a difficult recovery, but it's there. It certainly plays a little bit wetter, a little bit longer, but I don't know if that will be the case. I don't know what the weather's like. It looks like it's going to be nice leading into it, and they have a unique ability to do things to that course as far as sub-air and drainage and all the things that they have set up to make the course play how they want, regardless of weather. And I'm not sure. I really don't know what to expect. I don't think anybody does. I just know that we're appreciative of the opportunity to play because whatever the conditions, you know, everybody wants to compete for a Masters title, and we're thankful that we have that chance.
You know, I got to agree with Phil in one thing, Jay. You know, even though, yeah, he's playing well, he won his first two Champions Tour events, which he's to be congratulated. But in a way, very similar to Tiger, when both those players tee it up on the first hole at the Masters, you can throw out everything leading up to that event. You know, they have developed the ability to throw that switch, put the Masters tournament on a go, and normally they're going to play pretty good. And it wouldn't surprise me if both those players aren't hanging around somewhere near that leaderboard come Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I expect them to kind of carry on, you know, what Jack did for a while, and certainly what Freddie Couples did for a while, and continue to be involved in the mix if Tiger can stay healthy, and if Phil continues to get after it and plays hard. Yeah, you're right, Bob. It doesn't matter, I think, for the next couple of years necessarily what their form has been because of their feelings about the place and their knowledge of the place and what that can do to your mindset.
Well, it's going to be interesting, Phil, trying out a 47.5-inch driver, only a half an inch shorter than the maximum allowed, which is 48 inches, which we get reliable reports from Bryson DeChambeau camp that's what he's experimenting with, and that's what's going to be in the bag come the first round of the Masters. I'll be interested to see if that indeed is the case. If you had to predict right now, Jay, will he have that 48-inch in the bag or will he not?
Yeah, he'll have it in the bag. I mean, the reason he'll have it on the bag is he's going, and it may not lead to victory, but it goes back to why I cannot disrespect him or not have respect for him, because he's busting it right now. He's somewhere right now, either eating a shake or lifting a weight or reading a book or hitting that driver. And everything leads to that mindset of, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I've done what I needed to do. I know I put in the work. I'm ready to put this thing in play. That doesn't mean that he's going to win or win by six, but it means he's got that mindset and you better watch out.
Well, we think a little bit alike. 25% of what you said he's doing, I can do pretty easy, and that's have a shake, but mine's not of the protein variety. All right, let's move on. Tony Finau, one-time win on the tour, so many solid performances. No surprise if if he were to break out and win the Masters, no big surprise.
He's shown form there. You remember when he had that weird fall in the par three and looked like his foot had fallen off or his ankle had fallen off. He comes out and he finished in the top 10, I think. I mean, he likes that golf course. Rory had 29 total birdies, the most he's ever had in a PGA Tour event, I believe. And, you know, he tied for 17th. So his inconsistency, which is so different from last year's incredibly consistent performance, continues to exist. But we know what Augusta means for him. Shoffley, he finished tied for 17th. You almost feel sorry for him because that's not a normal paycheck. You know, and Jordan Spieth, middle of the pack.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I view it maybe as a doctor's appointment for Jordan Spieth with his success at Augusta National. I mean, if he's going to bust out of this funk, that'll probably be the place. Danger that I see in that scenario, Jay, is if he plays poorly there, that hole that he's digging for himself is getting pretty deep. And our condolences to Michael Grella. His mother passed away. Jordan Spieth had his dad on the bag, but the best to the Grella family on Michael losing his mother. Colin Morikawa really hadn't done much since the PGA Championship, but the funny part about it, when you win an event that big, you don't have to do too much.
I thought he'd have a little better form last week in the home, you know, being in his home state of California. I was a little disappointed. And I'd say I was a little disappointed because I put him on my DraftKings team. But I also put Gary Woodland on my DraftKings team, who was 3-under through 6 and then withdrew. So it was a rough DraftKings week. I got a little better on the weekend because I made a little weekend moves. But, Morikawa will be interesting to see how he does at Augusta, and Tommy Fleetwood continues to struggle. He really hasn't come back to form since the COVID break, and we'll see how he does at Augusta. Well, that's another one in the books. Just two more, Bermuda and Houston, before the 2020 Masters gets underway. And Bob's going to tell us everything about the Bermuda Championship right after I tell you about Gateway National.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning links-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses. Spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number 3, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right. The iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way and the best rates, are online at GatewayNational.com. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, GatewayNational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, GatewayNational.com.
Capilor Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Capilor Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator, freezer, so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. So happy you're with us. You want to drop us a note, you can do it by contacting us on Twitter. You can find me at STL Golf Geek. Bob is at Bob Bubka, V-O-G, and that V-O-G appropriately stands for Voice of Golf, and he's a giant over the pond in Europe, and he's also big in Bermuda, and it's the Bermuda Championship, Bob, Southampton, Bermuda. And this one, they had to make some calls to some guys to see if they'd come play. But that doesn't change the fact that, you've got some big things that are awarded with this thing. So it's still a tournament, and they'll still be golfing their ball in Bermuda.
Yeah, they will. And they get a kick out of it. It's going to be in Southampton, Bermuda. Since I was born in Southampton, New York, and I've also been in Southampton, England, I guess there's a lot of Southamptons around. So when I say I'm from Southampton, people, that's only a minor clue. They have no idea. But getting back to trying to get a field together, how about Tyler Funk? He's Fred Funk's son. Doesn't play on any tour right now. Ranked a little over 500th in the world, but he's going to be competing. He did last year too, failed to make the cut, but I sure would love, that'd be interesting. I tell you, they'd get a lot of TV time if they could have Fred and Tyler coming down the stretch together. The guy I want to see, Brendan Todd, he's the defending champion. You know, last year he came into the Bermuda Championship ranked over 500th in the world. He went on to win and been playing pretty solid. Right now, he's like 41st in the world. Pretty good get for Brendan Todd.
I mean, it was a giant year. I mean, it changed his life. And this is what can happen in these events. I mean, you know, you mentioned Tyler. I mean, there are a lot of cats in this thing that if they were to win here, it is a life changer. I mean, you've got guys like Stuart Sink, Pat Perez, and Henrik Stenson, three tour winners. You know, you got to think they one of those three is going to be there. You got Keith Mitchell, Hudson Swafford, and Aaron Wise paired together. Now, they've all found ways to win, basically, is guys that you weren't expecting. And Wise, of course, went on to win the Arnold Palmer Rookie of the Year when he won at Byron Nelson. Then you got the defending champion, and Danny Willett, who's playing this week. And, you know, getting ready for the Masters, which, of course, is his lone tour win. Duffner, you kind of never know. He can be really good or really bad. Kevin, this Will Zalatoris is a non-member of the tour. He's paired with Max Homa and Kevin Tweebop. And Will Zalatoris is the second choice in the odds in Vegas. He's the second choice. Todd is the first to defend, which is unusual that the first guy would be Brendan Todd as the defending champion.
Well, it's going to be a big week for Zalatoris because if he could finish 70th or better, he would earn special temporary membership for the remainder of the season. I mean, that is huge. So, sure, he'd like to win, but I think finishing 69th would make Will pretty happy.
Yeah, his focus, I mean, like I said, he's the second choice in the betting line to win the golf tournament. But yeah, that's what we were talking about earlier, life changer. I mean, getting status for the rest of the year, I mean, that's, you can't put a value on that, Bob.
No, that's you know, in order to win, you certainly have to be out there. So there's a wide variety of players that are playing down in Bermuda, probably making your job as the DraftKings pro that many listeners look forward to your picks each and every week. Give us a little look into the Jay Randolph crystal ball on what's going to happen at the Bermuda Championship.
I actually feel pretty good. I had enough money after I kind of put my lineup together, and I was able to take Brennan Todd as my last player because I'd saved up enough money because I knew I wanted to get one of the higher guys. I've got Brennan Todd. I've got Aaron Wise, Scott Piercy, Luke List, Bo Hostler, and Josh Teeter. Now, Josh Teeter hadn't played real good in a long time. The last time he played real good was right here in Bermuda last year. So I'm hopeful for that. And four of the six guys I picked up had good tournaments last year in the inaugural Bermuda Championship. So I'm kind of hoping that their form continues in that spot.
Well, you've been pretty good all season long. For somebody that wants a little extra action, I certainly would recommend the picks of Jay Randolph Jr.